tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV after show for the final season of Justified, the penultimate episode. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by our regular host, Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody. You can tweet me at Tamara Berg.
And on the couch, Stephen Bottomley.
And tweet me at Bottomley Stephen.
And the reason why Stephen is relegated to the couch is because of our special guests, producer and writer of this particular episode, VJ Boyd.
Hello.
And, of course, the ever-menacing and very creepy Boone, Mr. Jonathan Tucker. Well, thanks for being here, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the show, big fan of VJ, so it's exciting to all be here in the same room.
Well, we've had a fabulous run, and this particular episode was a lot of fun to watch as well. But since you're here, I'm going to ask, how is it to play a creepy guy? What's it like?
Well, you know, as I described him, and this was this part of what brought us together, was I described him as greasy and terrifying.
There you go.
Yeah. And I stand by that assessment.
Was that part of the description when you...
That was the Twitter quotation. Yeah. That you put down into for the whole world to see.
I know.
But when you first got the script, did it say Boone, greasy and terrifying, or how did he?
I wish it did. I think the dialogue itself gave some insights into who this young man was and could be and had been, and from there it was a wonderful dance with that talented writer's room.
Well, we don't always do this, but I'm going to jump in with one of the questions that we had from, I think it was PH321, had asked, how did Boone form? How did that happen? I'm wondering, you know, from the writer's perspective, it was on, you know, they started with something, and then I assume you got it and decided, we're thinking, and how did that collaborative process go?
Oh, geez. Okay. I'll try to encapsulate this. So we always knew that Markham, who Sam Elliott's character was going to need to bring someone in near the end of the
Ty
season.
Walker had to.
Right, because Ty Walker was going to be dispatched, and we wanted to bring in someone who was stranger, someone who was not militaristic like Walker and his guys were. And so we always think of characters in movies that we would kind of compare them to. Mm-hmm. So for a long time, we were referring to the character as Chigurh, like Anton Chigurh, but the character's really not like that. Mm-hmm. So we started jokingly, because our writer's assistant takes notes, right? He takes like 20 pages of notes every day on everything we're saying. It's a very difficult job. And he didn't know Anton Chigurh for whatever reason, so he called it Sugar. He just thought it was like someone named Sugar. And so we just started calling the character Sugar. And then I started doing impressions of what Sugar would be like anyway. And he just became creepier and creepier because of that name. And then I remember us sitting around and being like, what should we call him? What's his name? And Ben Cavell said, how about Boone? And I liked that name. And we all were like, okay, cool. And I don't know why there's not an E in it. I don't know. Uh-huh. But I know that I think Jonathan was the first person who, I think it was our casting people, presented to us, and we sent a scene that Dave Andron wrote, which would be your introduction scene probably with the snake. Is that what they sent you?
Right.
Okay, all right. And honestly, the way that Jonathan plays the character is exactly like I'd imagined it.
Wow.
So that's a test to Dave's writing in that it completely came across, and also Jonathan's performance, of course.
Yeah.
So, and you got that first sequence. And so how did you envision him when you were reading it?
Oh, well, I mean, it really is one of these things you kind of build. I mean, something about the show Justified that people should know is that, and there are a few other shows like it, but not a lot, where there's so much talent in this writer's room, and there's so much talent in the production side, and they're so confident in themselves and what they're doing that when they bring other people into the family or the fold, they kind of put the material down there and say, put out that invitation, and then they allow those different people to come in and do their own job. And so this was one of those examples, and you begin with that scene with that Mr. Andron wrote, mm-hmm. and you know the show and you know the characters, and then you kind of build from there. So you know, just the name Boone, I mean, it's a great, because Ben Cavell and I actually went to the same elementary school.
I didn't know that.
In Massachusetts.
Wow.
So, and I remember, I knew his brother and I remember him. He was a few years older.
Whoa, I did not know that. That's crazy.
That is wild, man.
So I mean, the first thing is, like, let's look up what that word Boone means. Like, what is it, what's the definition of Boone, and where do you find the word Boone? And there's a kind of an older, antiquated definition of it. Mm-hmm. There's a newer definition of it, and it's kind of got a fabulous. It provides fabulous little clues into sort of the depths of what this creature could be.
You just layer those things in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, I've been working on this thing called Alexander Technique, which is like a spine-body thing. Mm-hmm. So you kind of take in different animals, and this was like a kind of a fox sort of an animal.
Interesting.
And, you know, very,
yeah.
Very I can see that.
Spine, the whole hand sort of thing like this. Mm-hmm. And I went on this yoga retreat, which I can't believe. I'm from Boston, and I go on a yoga retreat. It's my first yoga retreat, guys. I did it. It was great. Uh-huh. Moto yoga in Hawaii. And this dude had like
how
all these.
How bad could it be?
How bad could
it
be?
Yoga in Hawaii,
it was great.
For God's sake.
And this guy had all these rings on his fingers. And I was like, boy, that's the coolest thing I've seen in a long time. So I took a shot with my iPhone. I was like, this would be great. But it's all entirely reinforced by mm-hmm. the writing, you know?
Right.
I mean, the writing always will inform what these choices are going to be. And then you kind of find the characters in yourself, and you find the characters outside, and mm-hmm. and you kind of try to meld them together.
And then one more to follow on, he just said, so as a writer and you're watching his performance, I'm sure that informs whatever you're writing to some degree. You might add something here
forward,
or the
yeah.
way he does that or whatever. Does that, I mean, I know
you're ahead,
so your script's ahead, but that's got to inform you if you have a line on the day or something like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge help that we're not writing at all before we shoot it, so we can see some of it and then tailor to the actor's performance.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hope you don't get fired. You know, they're like, man, that's cool. What's the cool thing, man?
What do you mean I'm dead in this episode?
Well, and Justified, you never know.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful the quality that the writers have given the show, and it's certainly something that they can probably use to as a tool when somebody
exactly.
doesn't quite fit in line.
You really have to do it.
It's not only if you're going to die, it's how you're going to die.
That's true.
That's always got to be like, do I just do something cool?
Speaking of which, I feel bad for poor Derek because he didn't die quickly. And shall we talk about Jenny and how empty her chamber was?
Yes.
We were talking about this as we came in. We said, you know, you never know. And I'm not a writer, but I'm just going to say this. I mean, you never know, you know, who says what in the writer's room, whose idea it was. This is a communal team sort of relationship, right, VJ?
Yes.
But I want to say on the air, I just want to attribute one of my favorite lines, which is, her chamber's full of promise now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Slowly stroking that elongated weapon, saying, this chamber's full. I think that's I don't know. Like, I wasn't there, but I have a feeling that it was a VJ.
That's all VJ.
You know, it's funny. We did discuss this outside, and I don't remember, which sounds crazy, but me and Chris worked so long on it, and we're rewriting each other's scenes. It's like, well, you fix this, fix this. I don't remember.
But yeah, Chris
but it's a good line.
Chris isn't here.
Okay, so I can take credit.
So
Chris isn't going to see this.
So you wrote the line.
That is stock Boyd right there. Boyd from Boone.
Well, that particular scene, the idea that he shoots him and then doesn't kill him.
Right.
I mean,
well,
I was just like, this is a great Boone moment.
One of my favorite lines. Was I supposed to take him to the hospital?
Was
because I missed that.
Yeah. Was that in the room, or was that just, hey, should we just leave him alive? Did you always intend
was that in the script? Because I remember us talking about it a lot.
I found it a very, there was, I was like, I don't quite, I have three different interpretations of this line. And you actually, I came up to ask you about it. You gave me the hint of how to make it work.
Yeah, to me, it was just Boone trying to please this father figure, but not, Boone's obviously off kilter and he's not quite normal. And so he's like, it wouldn't make sense to do that, but is that what you wanted? You know,
Yeah.
So, and it was great. I love those idiosyncratic moments.
But it's great, you know, to have a writer on set like that. I mean, one of the things that's so exciting about doing television, particularly today, is that, you know, it really is a writer's medium. So it's so frustrating when you're on a show or on a film where the writer's not there. It's like they created this whole world, they wrote all these characters, and you want to ask a question about that, and there's no writer to be seen. Mm-hmm. So when you have the opportunity to go ask, to just run up quietly and ask a question to the person mm-hmm. who had the idea to write this line, it's fantastic. And obviously you want to be respectful of the director who's there, yeah. too, to talk to them as well. But it is such a team sort of effort, and particularly on Justified, that when you can just dash over and say, hey, Vijay, you know, I got a question mm-hmm. about this line. What were you thinking? This is what I was thinking. Okay, cool. That was a good example of that.
And we've heard on the set that there's a lot of room for adjusting lines. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it depends on the scene. You know, yeah. I mean, if Tim's there, then he'll change lines and stuff, but he's a producer on the show. So generally, guest actors aren't going to change their lines, generally. But I mean, if an actor has problem with something, like, oh, this isn't quite working, or we actually had one of the deputies, one of the ones who grabbed up Ava at the end of right. the episode, he came to me and was like, I don't want to use Laura's name in vain. And I was like, I don't care. Say shit. I don't care. You know, you don't have to say, you know, GD or whatever, you know. So that's fine. But in general, guest actors know not to ask to change lines.
I will ask to change lines. However, on a show like this, particularly with Boone's dialogue, you want to learn the lines exactly. Like, you want every single word in there because yeah. for that character and for this world, those words, and it comes from an Elmore Leonard, it comes from the mm-hmm. Grammys, it comes from a VJ, yeah. it comes from that whole room there. Like, the dialogue is so – the more specific you can be, the better it sounds. And also mm-hmm. the cadence of it works. So, because it is hard cadence to get, and it's hard to memorize that dialogue. But you don't. I thought it's like you don't want to move a nickel off these words because they're so good.
I appreciate that.
It's true. I mean, it's really true.
Speaking to that, there was a question from one of our viewers for you, Vijay, which was, who is the character that's the most difficult to write for? That came from Rukseni, that girl Rue.
Oh, geez. That's a tough one. Probably, this might seem weird, maybe Art, you know, because he's a really important character to the show. But at the same time, he also, if you're not careful, can serve as just exposition.
Yeah,
and so you have to find a way to remember, okay, this is a character. What does he want? Yeah. Yeah, what does he want in this scene? He has an inner life. And also, it's tough, especially this season, because we had so many villains.
Yeah.
So this season was really tough because those few moments we got with Art, you want to give him something, right? And Nick's a great actor, so yeah. I would say that it used to be Boyd for me, and I think we may have talked about this last time, just because he's such honestly an over the top character, you know, in the way he talks, and it feels, you see it on the page, and it's like, oh, I can't do that, but then you can. So just knowing how far you can go, that was always tough for me, and I think I finally figured it out this season, I guess.
Well,
he liked
just
stuff
in
this
time.
Season.
Well, he had one of my best lines. Is this a shit bag? Shit bag.
Oh yeah. Yes, that was really funny on the day when we were shooting that. That was, by the way, the last because we shot out of order. Mm-hmm. We shot that scene after we'd shot the finale, really? So that was the last shot that Nick ever did for Justified.
Wow.
And also Jacob. That was on one of our last days of filming, and it didn't even seem funny to me at the time. I was like, ah, that's how cops talk, I guess, you know. But when seeing it on TV, it's like, oh, it's funny.
It's
very funny.
That was great. I loved it. You had great scenes to write this. I mean, you had... I couldn't believe how many. I mean, the scene with Hagen and Boyd in the truck.
Oh, yeah.
The scene with Cope and Raylan out in the woods, and them talking about. I mean, I love that they were relaying what their legacy is, or what their fathers create. I mean, mm-hmm. and how people look at them. I mean, I love the parallels, and then the scene between the two of them at night.
Raylan
That's crazy.
Boyd.
Yeah, Raylan and Boyd.
Yeah.
You had so, and then even the scene here where we get when Avery comes in with Loretta. It's like, how are we going to pick apart these scenes, because there's too many.
It's a good problem to have.
It was a good problem, but that's what I'm asking. Is like each one of those are standalone. I mean, they hold the whole scene. They could be a tentpole for the whole particular episode, and you've got like eight of them in this.
I was really worried. I personally was worried about the Hill People scenes,
yeah,
because they don't come back. They're just in those two scenes,
yeah.
And I'm glad that people liked them, because I was worried people would say, "Why? Who cares about the Hill people? I want to get to Ava and all that." But the people who are fans of the show, I think, care. And also it showed a contrast in how Raylan treats the people who are helping him or hindering him from being up the mountain, and the way Boyd treats Hagen.
Right.
You know, and so that was the goal.
You succeeded. It was a great parallel. I loved seeing it because, again, we were established. Let's remember who they are and where they came from and what they've done. I thought it worked great.
Plus, at the end, where Raylan says, "In case I don't get down," you know, that's nice. Leave him up there, and you're wondering, are you going to be part of the Hill?
I was surprised because right after the Raylan Boyd scene in at night, I'm going, this is the scene you usually have right before you have the showdown with a gun down.
Yeah,
it's like, damn.
There was a really great review, and I sent it to you. I can't remember. Was it from the New York Times?
I don't remember where it was from, but it was Entertainment Weekly.
It has this one paragraph, and it just talks about how the craftsmanship that's involved. And you always know, everyone's known that Justified's a really well-made show.
Absolutely.
But it's highlighted in this last, three, four episodes, but particularly this episode, this kind of, this set before the Spike episode.
Yeah.
It's if you actually break all this down in terms of, and I'm not a writer, but if you did this as a WGA Writers Guild of America case study, this is a beautifully crafted story that brings all these different stories to a head. Mm-hmm. It sets up all of these sort of dynamics that you're excited to see in the final episode, and it's very beautifully made television storytelling.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, and which is why I was going, I really don't know how to attack this. That's what I'm saying.
Everybody gets theirs.
Everybody has their moments.
You have your job. You've got just what you said. You've got to position everybody for the finale. Mm-hmm. And what I liked about this one is you let everybody know exactly who Boyd is going into the finale.
Right.
You know. Yeah. Again, the guy did him a solid. The guy's saying, "You could let me walk away." And he says, "I'm an outlaw." Bam.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, if you're not sure.
No.
But
the fans are having a hard time with it because some of them don't want to see Boyd as a bad guy.
He's always been a bad guy.
You have to remember what happens in the pilot. He shoots Jared Hale for no reason.
Exactly.
And he doesn't really care.
No.
And he's done that throughout. I mean, people who get in his way.
Yeah.
He killed Dewey because he didn't trust
Carl.
Him.
Carl.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people were upset about that too, because don't you have any loyalty? But as Carl said, there's no honor among thieves.
No, and that's he is what he is. He's been the same the whole time. Yeah. He's not gonna. What did you expect him to do?
And the interesting thing is, I know that we've gotten some, or at least Twitter criticism, and also on some message boards that, you guys are going out of your way to make Boyd super evil so that we're okay with him dying if he were to die. Honestly, that was not at all our intention.
No.
Like, we really felt like this is just in character. We've taken everything away from him. If he was restrained at all, it was out of his love for Ava.
Right.
And now she's betrayed him. So he's like, well, the money's it. I don't know what's after that, but I'm going to kill everyone in my way until I get that money.
He's a wounded animal. He's got nothing to lose. And his true colors have, for me, they've always been there, but they're really going to come out now because he has nothing to lose.
And again, that's the strength of that one line, "I'm an outlaw." To me, that sums all of that stuff up right there.
And yeah, we were so
lucky to
get...
Of course, the guy in the head helps.
Yeah.
Punctuation.
It was great to get Shay for that.
Yeah.
Those two scenes or three scenes he's in with a great actor for just those couple of scenes.
Yeah.
And then coincidentally, him and Walton are going to be in that Jodie Hill show on Showtime playing vice principals, a comedy.
Oh, yeah,
what?
Oh,
we talked about it.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm looking forward to that. But they didn't even know they were both going to be in that show until the day after we shot their scenes. It was totally coincidental. Yeah.
I also wanted to talk about the return of Constable Bob, because had you guys always decided we'll bring him back for one more encore?
We definitely wanted him involved and there were so many versions of Bob. There were versions where he actually, where Raylan doesn't get there in time and he's actually dead, but that felt, even if it was real, very much like we're just begging the audience to be mad at Boyd, and that's not what we want. Mm-hmm. And also, how can you kill Bob?
We
wouldn't have gotten the Indiana Jones joke.
Exactly.
Thank you. Because I'm much like, wait, who was his nemesis? Well, no, wait, I had to put on pause and think.
Belloc. Or the other line, which is my favorite, is don't try to seduce me. Others have tried.
Yes,
I did write that one.
Did you?
I was that kind of tried.
I wrote all the patent stuff. Good, so it's the first time I've ever gotten to write for patent.
Even the
so.
Mocha latte thing?
Yeah, I wrote that one too.
Nice, nice.
My favorite was I know that sounds untoward.
Yo, that was yes. me too.
That's you too. Okay.
He remembers these.
Yeah. Those are my silly double entendres and stuff. Yeah.
So I got a question. At what point did you decide to bring the gremlin back?
Yeah. What a reveal, by the way. Shot nicely. Oh,
you nice know, reveal. That was, we were already in the middle of writing the script, and we were like, all of a sudden we realized, because we went back in the room to talk about some other scenes, we were like, how did Raylan get to the mountain? And we were like, oh, you know what? Maybe he stole Constable Bob's car. So we made up all that stuff, and I went and rewrote it to fix it. And someone else, I don't even remember who, was like, oh, and he can get the gremlin, and he can pull the thing off it dramatically. And it's like, yeah, that works.
Yeah.
So
kind of like an old friend.
Kind of wanted to hear the Star Wars theme playing as he was pulling the gremlin.
Maybe in another show.
A little bit.
Yeah. Maybe another show that might happen. I don't see the Star Wars theme.
Well, it was great to see the gremlin again.
It was true. It was a awesome. Nice way to resurrect it. So,
but now that Ava's torn it apart,
yeah, it's got damaged.
Jeez. Is that all shot out in Green Valley?
That was in Green Valley. All the hill stuff is either Fraser Park or Green Valley. So it's half and half.
Because it just blew me away how well this stuff at Los Angeles shoots for Kentucky.
I mean,
crazy. even that wood scene.
Yes.
Like, boy, I'm like, where was that?
Yeah,
that was
the side of a hill in Green Valley. Yeah,
the second season when they were going all over the place.
Yeah,
you know, with Mags Bennett. And he's like, that's L.A.
Yeah, that's when we discovered Green Valley was second season. Was because
much
we were like, where are we going to do
the whole crew, I'm sure. They really,
there's
they
no
really
cell reception there.
Exactly. Zero.
Yeah.
It is a
no
is,
cell for a film crew.
Zero.
Oh, no.
God. Yeah.
So the poor assistant director, she was just struggling.
Yeah.
Out there, man.
You can't call back for any call notes time, or anything. Notes. Yeah.
They have to have a PA, a production assistant, is literally sitting by themselves eating like granola by the handful in between production and video villa and the base camp because they don't have enough. It's too far of a distance for the walkie. So he's got to relay all the stuff from set to. It could be 1940.
It explains all the homing pigeon companies out there.
Exactly.
I got a lock on it.
It's got a good energy, that place, though, for the show.
And it's also very helpful to know for future horror movies you might be writing that there are places with no cell reception.
That's right.
Oh,
they still exist.
Yeah.
Cool.
You pitching something already?
I do horror movies, so that comes to mind. Okay. Every time I do a horror movie, and people are like, well, why can't they call people? I'm like, there are places with no cell reception. Yeah. They exist.
Yeah, one called
right
Sherman Oaks.
Yeah, I was going to say, AfterBuzz Studios.
That's true. All right, well, we got to get to some more of this episode. I wanted to talk about Wynn because we got to see he obviously finagled his way out of one more thing because he's Wynn. He's a cockroach. He'll never die. So we got to
with
see
sensitive gums.
Yes. What was that? We knew that we were going to use the bracelet and the diamond.
I'm glad you noticed that one shot in 11 at the end where he sees him.
Course.
I didn't know if anyone noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as Wynn saw it. Oh, interesting. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I love he was so resourceful. He hides it in the toothpaste. And as soon as I saw the box and, you know, Vasquez, I'm going, toothpaste, got to be in there, something.
Wow, that's really good. That's good. It's not just an idiosyncrasy. Yeah, no, it was funny. That's another. I was sitting there in my office writing the script, and me and Chris were stressing out because we were behind, and it was already long, and we had more scenes to write. Because that one scene in the woods with Walton and Tim, you think it's long now?
Yeah.
It's a three-page scene. Uh-huh. It was eight pages in the first version. So anyway, we were already super long, and Graham came into my office and said, hey, I need you to add a scene. It's Wynn Duffy. He has a toothpaste tube. He opens it with a knife. Inside it are Catherine's jewelry. And then he's going to use that to pay for a van. Make it a dog grooming van, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, I don't know where this is coming from. This is all things that I'm like, because I haven't been in the room. I've been writing. I said, okay, I'll write that. I don't know what that means. So I'm glad that it worked.
After writing it
was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
After watching, I was like, okay, that totally works.
Yeah.
And I tried to do it kind of in a Breaking Bad style where you see all the little details of the transaction and because we don't normally do that kind of stuff.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. No, I like the scene there too. I mean, the bus pulls away and I honestly was going Forrest Gump.
Lots of people said that. Yeah. Everyone tweeted Forrest Gump, Forrest Gump.
Exactly.
I didn't even realize that. Yeah.
But to have, oh, I don't know who she was. I didn't even check the name. But the,
good
the,
cover too, because does she look like somebody you can get passports from?
Oh my God! From?
She's,
yeah,
credited as supplier.
That was fabulous.
Yeah, she had a name in the script, and I don't know why they didn't. I don't even remember, but I did give her a name.
Joanne.
I did give her
like
a name.
Joanne.
I like supplier. I think that was very nice. I think it was very appropriate. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now he
that's
wants,
probably how she's known. You
wants
know? You have cleaners, you have suppliers.
He wants something that's going to carry two or three large duffel bags. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's either cash mm-hmm. or body parts.
Or maybe he just needs that much space.
Yeah.
He
yeah,
needs that space, yeah.
He's used to Winnebago, so he's,
right.
you know, he's downsizing to a dog van.
He's going to go to J. Crew and max out his credit card.
That's what it is. That's what it is. So, obviously, that will come back in next week's episode. The other thing that I think it was great is when Boone shoots Derek, poor Derek, and we see how fast he is. I think that you're reminding us how fast he is, so that the showdown with Raylan will be much more exciting.
There's going to be a showdown.
Just a thought. It's just a thought.
I don't want to get your hopes up. Who knows what's going to happen?
There's a teaser. I mean,
the coming up. Next. We have him in the street.
But you don't see the part where the wolf runs down and just jumps on him and kills him.
Oh, no, we missed it.
So, how much did you hear? Did you practice with the gun work?
Oh boy. So much gun work.
Yeah,
practice.
Seriously, yeah. On set, always doing it just to keep in practice.
Did you have a gun wrangler?
I did. We had Mr. Phil Reed. You can Google him. Check out his YouTube. He is the guy. I mean, he is the guy. Uh-huh. And it was so cool to get to work with him. I mean, it's just so cool. But that started in December for me. So my wife was. I mean, she was so frustrated because it felt like, you know, you're with like an 11-year-old, like
cowboys
and Indians sort of thing.
Your wife doesn't like a quick draw?
She's like,
what?
Hey, what?
Wow,
hey.
I'm very sorry about this.
Sorry.
But I see now I'm answering your question. I feel like I'm on like a legitimate show, you know? You guys, then all of a sudden you get
I'm
the
sorry.
Low blows. But
you're always telling John, don't work blue.
Don't go so Dr. Phil.
But no, just, I mean, all of Christmas. I'm like, she's like, you need to put the pistol down.
You need to back away from the guns.
Neighbors are saying, every mirror, wham, wham, wham.
Exactly.
But, you know, if you don't have that, if you don't do it.
It's got to be in the muscle memory, right?
The only thing I kept banging around on set was, like, to the DP and to the director, was like, you need to tie me in to this weapon. Because if you just have me do my hands and you just have me pulling it up, then the audience will not see that how much time I have spent doing this thing. I kept banging around it, and there's a few shots if you see, but that was very important to me.
I think they caught it for me. They did. I mean, that's why I brought the question up because this guy's done his work.
The only hard part was that I hadn't practiced actually firing.
Uh-huh.
So I always practice quickly pulling out and then slowly putting the hammer back and then putting it back in. So all of a sudden they're like, all right, fire. And I'm like, this is a whole new muscle memory. I actually should have been practicing.
A whole separate part of the Wild West.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So the hovering thing, the little twitching thing, was that just something that you brought?
Yeah.
He does have an itchy trigger finger for
itchy
sure.
I love that. I love when they name, because I had named her. I had named the weapon myself. It was a different name.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when I got in the script, I mean, this is when you start to see when the writers and the actor are really on the same page, figuratively and literally. You know, all of a sudden, I got a name for my weapon. I was like, "Ah, this is great. I'm going down the right path then because it was backed up by these guys."
Okay, we got to ask.
What was the original name?
What was the name?
Oh, I can't tell.
Oh. Okay, well, can you at least tell me?
The name is Jenny.
How did that come for you? I mean, why Jenny?
That was the writers. The writers gave the name.
Oh,
they gave the name Jenny, and I had another name.
She was like
that.
Agatha or something.
Something similar.
The subtext for Jenny is something totally other.
Oh, that was Keith Schreier, named after his girlfriend.
Oh, is that what
so,
it is?
Yeah.
And it's my sister's name, so it had something special for
okay.
me.
So, I
love that weapon, boy. I mean, I love that weapon. So I learned so much about the Colt action, single action revolver. That's a special weapon.
When we heard how much you were practicing, we knew we'd cast the right person. I was like, yeah, he's already practicing.
Well,
you get so worried,
you know, because it's like – you got to come onto a show. It's in its sixth season. It's already like a complete privilege to be out there with these guys. They're going at 110 miles an hour. You're working with all of these extraordinary actors, and you're kind of coming in as a second for Garrett Delahunt. I mean, you like really got to.
Yeah,
like,
the bar's already set. The bar's already set.
Yeah, don't show up and not have
not
a
only,
weapon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not only that. They've spent all this time showing how quick Raylan is.
Right, sure.
And so now you're the guy that's going to have to go up against.
But you know, the single action is actually faster than like a Glock or any of those other weapons because
there's
literally less time.
Fewer parts.
For it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that when you watch online on YouTube, they're like the fastest ones are like point. 0.25 seconds or something like that.
And what do you have
from
right
a
now?
Buzzer? 0.25. So wow. Bam, bam! Wow. It's unbelievably fast.
Wow!
And you're what, about a 0.28?
Yeah, right. I'm sure I get up to half a second. Yeah.
Well, if you ever accidentally travel through time back to the Old West, you'll be good.
I'll be great. Yeah, I'll be great. Or you know, well, maybe I'll be a Western.
I would debate for sure. I would debate he has. And it just hasn't adjusted for this period.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the things I love watching with Boone is when he's talking, it looks like he's trying to figure out where he is and where he fits in.
Yeah, and then
there seems like such a disconnect between reality and him, but it's like him trying to fight his way.
Right, well, you get this great dialogue, right? And it's exactly what you're saying. And then you look over at Timothy Olyphant, he's looking at you like... And I'm in the scene, and he's looking like, what the hell are you saying, dude? And he's almost trying not to laugh. And then there's some lines where she's like, Loretta's like in the Kaden. Car scene. Kaden Dever, I think she's so talented. She's like, I'm saying all this stuff, and she's like, I have no idea what the hell you just said. You know, it's a funny just being an actor in the scene, just talking away about all these wackadoo things, and trying to get the words just like they're in, and then all of a sudden people are like confirming exactly what you're kind of thinking in your head, like, why don't you just shut up, bro?
Is there a danger of putting Boone and Boyd in the same room? Because... that would change the universe with the amount of verbiage.
Right.
Yeah. They would never end.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
Would they understand each other?
They would certainly never get to a gunfight because they'd be talking. And by the way, your teeth glow in the dark.
Oh, my God.
Now, that was Chris, and I'll tell you a secret that'll make me look really bad. I told him to take it out. I didn't like it. I was like, cut this. I don't, it's goofy, you know. I was like, and of course, everyone loves it because I'm an idiot, so.
No, but you had all those other great lines with Patton and Jenny with her chamber.
Jenny, that's definitely true.
But it just didn't work for you on that page?
I felt like, as we talked about, this is the last time they're seeing each other until the finale.
Right.
And we definitely wanted the scene to be a serious scene.
Yeah.
Like, they're not... playing around. They're being very direct with each other, more direct than they've been in the past. Yeah. But you can still get, that's the first, one of the first lines is that
so
one. And so you start out with, and so it totally worked.
Because that's totally how they always get, how they always start.
I was totally wrong, and the scene totally works because they still are very direct with each other after that.
Yeah. Mm. We still think you're very talented.
Oh, well, thank you.
That was an 8-page scene.
Yes, it was an 8-page scene, and I mean, that was Chris's whole idea for the show, because he and I kind of pitched what that episode would be, because at that point we were very much behind, so the whole room broke it, but we were kind of pitching what it could be, and he was like, I want to do an episode where they can't find each other in the dark, and that this is the final time they'll see each other till the finale, and they just get all their dirty laundry out.
Right,
and I thought that's perfect for a penultimate episode.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was great.
And so I think he just threw everything in it in that first draft, and it was great. But we can't do an 8-page scene at night. We would have had to shoot 2 or 3 nights, and so 3 pages worked, and people like it, and I'm happy.
Yeah, no, it was well, especially because they were coming off those other scenes too, because they got to hear what everybody else thought of them, and now they get to go at each other.
Exactly,
I love that.
Very good. Yeah.
And both characters are so well defined, and on the page, and it's what they don't say anyway, is what carries
the subtext.
Scene.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And of course, Ava, that we haven't talked to Ava at all because she's stuck in the middle of it. Now, I have a couple of questions that I'm sure will be answered, and you're not going to answer them, but what the hell? The deputies that got Raylan at the end, who are they working for?
Oh.
Well, he does have a bolo on him because of Vasquez.
Clearly. But Markham has guys in his pocket, so.
He does, so I guess you'll have to wait.
Dang.
Sorry.
So. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. So, because clearly the deputies that got Aver.
Yeah, they're dirty.
Yeah. And one of them got hit in the nuts.
One of them,
One of them's a pussy.
Here I am, I didn't want that teeth line, and I have him getting kicked in the nuts. But I wasn't doing it for humor. It's like, honestly, if you're trying
That's
to get away from
do.
A dude, kick him in the nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if your hands are cuffed.
If you're fighting for your life, for future reference, don't fight fair.
So. That's a good point. Yeah, I'm going to write that down.
Pro tip. Yeah.
So...
Mark.
All right, so Ava now, she's stuck again, but I mean, I don't even see how this is going to go, because usually I like to try to figure things out. But at some point, about the eighth episode, I went, ah, screw it, just watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, quit trying to figure it out.
Yeah, not this season.
Yeah.
Not this season.
Absolutely.
All right, so I wanted to talk more about the art sequence, because we had set up last episode that Art and is coming after Raylan.
Right.
So we didn't get to see too much of Art today, only because he's dealing with the two manhunts, and of course Vasquez going crazy with his bulletin being upset, and the fact that he thinks everybody's aiding and abetting a heist. So I was just curious about what's Art thinking in this episode, like, and I'm asking because we didn't have time for the scene, but I'm going, what is he really thinking? That he stole the money, or he can't be thinking that.
No, I don't think so at all. I think the marshals know that they're just giving Raylan crap when they say that. Yeah. And I think, but it's like he does have to go get Raylan. Raylan should have come in. What he's doing is not correct. He doesn't have to do it. He put the
badges down, and he's clearly not.
He's doing it because, you know, Boyd's gone to jail before. Mm-hmm. They had him yesterday. Mm-hmm. He always gets away. He always gets out. And it's like one of those things. It's all kind of a meta.
I tried it your way. Yeah. I was going to do the RICO thing. That didn't work out, so I got to do it my way.
It was basically a meta thing of you somehow realize it has to come down to me and him. Yeah. Like that, like no one else can do this. You know, just as we, the audience, know that. Yeah. The characters also know that in a way. So that was the idea. There was a version of this episode that we had broken where Art was going to be chasing him throughout the episode.
Yeah.
And what we realized is there's not enough suspense in that, because when he catches him, you know he's not going to hurt him.
Yeah.
You know, so unless it's him saving Raylan from himself, and that just seemed like something for earlier in the season, and it would have been cool, and we've seen Art be cool before, but it just didn't fit. There's too much other stuff. You know, we wouldn't have gotten to have Boone killing Derek, or shooting Derek and letting him bleed.
All right. Well, we were debating whether or not there was some... since they never really reconciled Art knowing that Raylan shot the bad guy.
Or allowed to be killed.
No, you're talking about the end of season 4.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And then last season he was investigating that. A lot of people feel like they're going to have that conversation. To us, it either happened off screen or it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because the whole, and we did not voice it the way we should have in season 5, honestly, but the whole thing was, if Raylan actually says to Art, this is what I did, then Art has to arrest him.
Yeah. Right.
So it is better for it to be between the lines. That it is better that Raylan was being selfish in even admitting anything to Art.
Yeah.
You know, it's that thing of admitting you're having an affair or something. It's used to...
puts Art in a bad spot.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the idea, is they've never had the conversation, but they both know it happened.
And they can't have the conversation.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, things will really change.
Right.
So they can't have it. So... All right. Tamara, did you have questions from other...
Okay. This is one that people keep asking me to ask you, and that is, tell me about Quarles.
Oh, everyone wants Quarles.
They want to know about Quarles.
All right, so...
who was disarmed, if you remember.
Am I allowed to say this? I will, because he's
what
not...
what are we going
to
do?
There was no more Quarles.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to see Quarles anymore, but he's alive. Okay, and we talked a lot about bringing him back. There was a version of this season in which Dickie broke out of jail with Quarles, or Quarles helps Dickie break out of jail in exchange for something, I don't even remember what, so that we can see Quarles for one beat with the one arm and everything. And Graham had this great idea, which I wish we'd be able to do, where a lot of people break out of jail, and he said, I know we can't do it, but Dickie, Quarles, the Ice Pick, a lot of other guys we've seen break out, and it becomes basically the Sinister Six, you know, which is our Spider-Man villains.
Nice.
So I, of course, being the nerd, was like, oh, the Sinister Six, and everyone's like, nerd.
Yeah.
So, but there was that could have happened. I love Quarles. A lot of people hate Quarles. Honestly, most of the people in the room are not interested in seeing Quarles again. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who loves season 3. Unfortunately, we will not see him again unless there's a movie.
Okay.
So and FX, make a movie.
That leads to another question that several people have asked, is who would you like to have a spinoff? What character would you like to spin off? That's from Charles Goldman.
It would have been awesome if we'd been able to do a Win Duffy spinoff. There's not going to be any spinoffs, though. Yeah. But I was talking about that also with the other writers. I said, shouldn't we do a Win Duffy spinoff? And no one else was really interested. I'm the only one. But that would be awesome, I think.
Mm-hmm. Also,
I would like to know Boone the early years.
Better call Boone.
That's
saw
nice.
That. Somebody said that to you. Was it on Twitter, I think. Yeah. Was it Adam actually who said that?
Better call Boone.
I don't know.
Someone did.
I thought it was pretty good.
Because I want to know his, I want to know his early stuff. I want to know the making of Boone.
Well, it's a very lonely story.
It's him sitting all alone, guarding a pot field.
Yeah,
exactly. He shoots the pot plant in half and then looks around. That was in early drafts.
I mean, the early drafts was that the idea was that I slept in these pot fields and used to guard them, and basically I had no life, and I went from pot field to pot field, or from one farmhand to the next, practicing my quick draw.
I think he's just so thrilled that Avery found him and he can use his talents to the best.
And I found a father figure.
That's right. I think it is. It's great. He loves it.
Sam Elliott, who could be a better father figure. He comes and cleans up your messes. Kills the guy that you left bleeding.
And that was kind of very fatherly, too. Like, how many times have I not done something that my dad wanted me to just like, oh, sorry, did you want
See,
me to kill?
See, this is how you were supposed to do it.
Exactly. It's very fatherly.
My dad would always just shoot the dishwasher.
Exactly.
That explains a lot, actually.
Yeah, was that supposed to have to just pull a gun and shoot it?
We didn't talk about this, but it was a very interesting scene with Avery and Catherine on the slab. I mean, I was surprised, first of all, because you had so much story that you included. I'm glad that you guys did, but I was just surprised by it because, it just... for that reason, there was so much story going on.
Just wanted
you guys...
to establish that he actually cared.
Yeah.
You know, that this is really why he came back. And so he kind of has nothing to lose also.
Yeah.
Now. And also, they're kind of a mirror Boyd and Ava in a weird way. You know, an older version of them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it could be.
Yeah. So, and it's like that kind of stuff never ends well because you're criminals.
Yeah.
You know, how did Bonnie and Clyde end? How did Markham and Catherine live? And yet, Boyd and Ava continue.
He seemed pretty pissed.
Yeah.
He's got to get his goddamn money.
Yeah, we also wanted to have that reversal where it's like, oh, he's going to go get revenge on Duff, and he's like, I'd love to do that, but I need to get my money. Right, yeah. Because he's an Elmore villain, and Elmore villains want money.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
What else you got, Tom?
A couple people, well, one woman suggests that you do an AMA and Ask Me Anything on Reddit.
I guess so I could. I don't know if anyone would ask
that.
Me
just
anything. You could just
question.
Tweet me and
exactly.
I'll,
it's very, very accessible on Twitter, I would just say.
Someone asked Jonathan if you got to keep the hat. I don't actually know. Did you get to keep the hat?
I wish I had my phone right here so I could pull up the email where I specifically shot wardrobe a note saying, can I keep this hat? Which is a custom Manhattan. Yes, it cost a pretty penny.
Wow.
From Nick Fouquet, who's in Venice, California. He's like this very serious custom
I've heard the
hat
name,
maker.
Actually.
And that's the only thing I wanted, and I did not get it.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No. It's Graham Yost, if it's in your house. The producers apparently got it. And you know what?
They are owed that.
There is no question about it. Is there? It's a great hat.
No. There's only one hat.
It's probably in a nice plexiglass box. Maybe somebody at FX.
Boone is robbed.
That's too bad.
Did you get Jenny?
What about the bullet hole in it? What about the bullet hole in it from Raylan's gun?
What are you talking about?
Oh, you know, but just trying to.
Oh, you mean the wolf? The scars from the wolf jumps on it and tears it to pieces.
So, were you able to get anything?
What's that?
Can you say if you were able to get anything?
Set souvenirs.
Oh, I did get my. I got my. I can hear my dog barking.
They're having fun out there.
I got to keep my the holster and the belt.
That came as a gift from Felton.
And the gun.
That's nice. No, not the weapon, unfortunately. I wish I did. I could get. You know, it's very hard to get a single action Colt revolver made for you now because they are weighted and it's kind of a personal order and it takes like upwards of 2 years.
It seems like it's much harder
okay.
when you ask.
He has done his homework.
Yeah, it is. You
just
kind
of walk off with it. That's exactly right. So the listeners, stop asking
and just beg forgiveness afterwards.
Absolutely. Well, you have a gun, so you don't have to beg too much.
That's right.
BJ?
Yeah, I didn't take anything.
Nothing.
I got my seat back that has my name on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I probably should have gotten something. Mm-hmm. They auctioned off a lot of the stuff for charity, but there wasn't any specific thing. You know, I'll tell you the toothpaste tube, I would have liked to have one of those if they had given it, like, I specifically made up a name for the toothpaste, but then they didn't use it because our props department was like, that's not realistic. We're going to make a real realistic toothpaste tube because they're too good at their jobs, so they didn't give it my silly name.
Which was?
Like, well, it was Regonk, which is the nonsense word that everyone wanted me to put into the show.
Well,
and
see,
I was like,
your fans are going to be so happy that at least you tried.
I tried. So I was going to take that, but then on the day I was like, wait, you didn't call it? Yes, we did a real prescription toothpaste. It's like, oh, you're too good at your job.
Yeah.
Those props guys were good, man. Leo.
Oh, I know,
did such a great job on that gig. I was always asking last minute for, hey, do you have an expert? Yes. And they're like rolling. He's like, bam, there you go.
Because they have to think about it every time. Yeah. We're doing like 20 takes of them taking drinks. They have to go fill it to the right. Yeah.
There every time. Nice. Another one. Okay, Tamara.
Actually, I would just like to talk about Robin Johnson, who has a prediction. Here's what her prediction, how the show is going to shake out. Flash forward to the future. Raylan will be in the sunshine with his 4 or 5-year-old daughter. Ava will be off in Arizona because everyone disappears to Arizona. Boyd will be 6 feet under or in prison somewhere, or perhaps corresponding with a mystery woman named formerly known as Ava.
Okay.
Also, Chuck Koch or Koch suggests that
Koch.
God.
I'm sorry, Chuck. I'm sure he's had that happen to a million times. Anyway, he suggests that the three of us will get out of Harlan alive, and that's about it.
Yeah, you guys did.
Harlan just gets killed by wolves. I'm just on a wolf kick today. The wolves just rampage through Harlan and everyone dies.
So you did shoot a lot over the hill. Did you kind of become friends with locals? Were there like groups of people that would like, hey, here's a muffin? Or I mean,
There were a couple of guys who lived up in Green Valley who would always come watch us shoot. I don't know where they worked, that they had time to always just come watch us shoot, but maybe they're independently wealthy. I don't know. But I was generally just working and watching it, so I didn't really chat with people. But
it wasn't a big sad, we'll miss you.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe the people were renting their land. they're going to miss us. Yeah,
exactly.
You know who's going to miss us? The people who own Win Duffy's motor coach.
Yeah, no kidding.
We didn't buy that motor coach.
We thought we were
using it for one episode several seasons ago, kept using it. So we're paying them thousands and thousands of dollars every time we rent it. And they're like, they're going on vacations in the motor coach with the money we pay them to rent the motor coach.
You gotcha.
I think I know who's pushing hardest for a Win Duffy spinoff. Although
he
gave it up. He goes, they can keep it.
That's right.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, the fans of the show, it's so diverse, and they're so passionate about the show. And, you know, some people come up and they're like, you know, I didn't understand the show until I realized it's a comedy. And then some people come up and they're like, I just love that show. It's a real Western. And they come up, I just love that show. It's what a hard-hitting police drama. You know, like, I just love that show. It's a love story. It's everything's a love
story.
That
is very true.
But there's all these, everybody sees these things, and there are elements. They're all right, because there's all these different elements in the show.
It's the elephant.
Yeah, it really is. It has all these different elements to it, and people are so passionate about it. And that's why the show is so much fun, you know, for me, because to watch and be part of this, because, like, people do take this stuff seriously, and they are, like, giving hours of their life every week, and they do talk about it. Yeah, and so for somebody like me to come on, you know, VJ's been with the show for a while. For how long?
Since season one.
So he's been for a while. but, you know, it's like for me to come in at the end of this thing, there is a real responsibility. It really is a privilege to come on to the end of a show like this and to have you guys talking about it with the sort of, you know, the thoughtfulness that you do. It's very respectful to all the people that have spent, literally millions of people who, like, this is a part of their life, you know? So,
well, you know what? It's much easier to do when the material's good.
Absolutely. As an actor, too.
Does anyone recognize you from Justified?
Okay. The problem is this, is that every single person comes up and they're like, boy, you are so creepy. You're so good at playing creepy, and you're like,
Colin.
I want to talk about you because I first introduced you because of Black Donnelly's.
Yeah.
Way
back
then, I was like, don't you think that because Black Donnelly's one of the big problems that I didn't think was a problem, but I think one of the knocks against us is that it was dark and stuff. And I'm going, if it was now, That thing
would be light.
It would exactly.
Yeah, it would be. Sitcom. I loved that show.
It was a great show. Yeah, and that was like one of your. That was your. Was it? Would you consider that your breakout for TV?
You know, yeah,
would
sure.
Because yeah. I mean, and it looked like you were having a ball playing that first. And it was right in your. I mean, it's right in your wheelhouse. Is the.
It was great being from Boston.
Exactly.
It's a New York show. It's an Irish Catholic show.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was great. And then, by the way, I'm going to go nerd here too because one of my favorite actors is Billy Crudup.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Gosh.
I loved him in No Limit. That's the first time I saw him was No Limit.
Yeah, or Beyond Limits, right? Or
no, was it No Limits.
Without Limits.
Without Limits. Thank you very much. Yeah, Prefontaine. Yeah. And
my phone's still on. Can I just steal it? Do you have that there? Because then this will be great. This will be great
right
for the
next
show.
To you.
I can actually print this. It's the first time this photo has ever been put up on air. If I have it, and I have it from today. Because Billy and I just went
skiing.
It's right there. We just went skiing 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
So I pulled up. So as my phone is starting up, I'm going to...
Okay, go ahead. No, all right, we'll chat about
it. It was great because I played the young Billy Crudup in this movie,
Sleepers. Yeah.
And so now, and that was 1996. So he was
basically
20 years later.
I didn't
later.
Know that was you.
Yeah.
I've
yeah.
seen Sleepers like 2 or 3 times. Yeah, I didn't know that.
There we go. See, after Buzz TV is
we are bringing
sort of
people together,
exactly
making
right.
connections.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
what we do.
But no, I've been very lucky. But this was such a great gig to be a part of for lots of different reasons. And I'm on this other show called Kingdom, which I know you guys are going to be doing.
Hannibal.
You're going to be doing After Buzz on it. But Kingdom finished and we wrapped the first season like in the fall, and to have a get to come onto another gig like this.
Right.
It was perfect timing.
It was just
really
amazing.
Lucky,
it was so great. It was so, and they were, and you know, DirecTV was really kind enough to let me come do it, and then the mall were a little, let me kind enough to come do this show because it's a little hard sometimes with actors who are on other gigs. And
yeah,
now
yeah.
I go back in 2 months. So
to Kingdom,
yeah.
But the good thing is, I think we're similar audiences, so I think people who watch Justified and like you on that will also like Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they're
yeah,
both
sure.
kind of macho shows. You know, so
you ready?
Here's all right, wait, okay, macho? I'll watch it. I promise.
While he's finding that, I wanted to.
There we go.
There it is.
Look at that.
Oh, my
no
God.
To, like, zoom in.
How do
I
here,
that.
Here. I'll,
there you go.
I can't zoom it in. I don't think we can zoom
no,
in.
No.
Can
hey,
you
can tweet out that.
I'll tweet
out that.
You know
that
what that's what I'm going to do? I'm going to tweet it.
Look for Jonathan Tucker on Twitter. On Twitter.
Too much focus? No, that can happen. But I'll put that up on Twitter. I'll give it to AfterBuzz. It's a pretty good one.
That's a great shot. That's a great shot.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
So, did you, was that a huge impact on you when you worked on that film with him? Because of his way of acting or his being on set?
He's always been a big, I've always been a big fan of his.
Yeah, I have too.
Kind of
and I agree with you that every time I see him, I go, this guy, what? Almost
so
famous.
Great.
I mean, every time he's on the screen, you think, boom. And then
and on stage, too.
Yeah,
stage
I haven't seen him on stage, though, unfortunately. So, but I've just
he's
really enjoyed
else.
Them.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the actors from this show, too. I mean, it's exciting to see. I'm really keen to see where you know, Goggins and Off and
Jared. Well, they're going to do a little comedy.
Yeah, Goggins take a little comedy break.
Which
yeah.
I was working out with Walton today. We were at the Houston Gym.
Oh, really?
Laurel and Beverly. Yeah.
Oh.
His teeth glow?
From there. His teeth do not glow. And actually, and Jer Burns' wife, who's a nutritionist and a yogi, was on the yoga trip where I had the
there
things.
You go,
so she
that.
Was all looped into
wow.
I was sending out those
everyone
emails.
Knows
it's like
other.
A version of the Monkees TV show, man. You,
it's called,
yeah,
you know what it's called? It's called Hollywood, but
that
it's
is
all
it.
Right here. Still in Los Angeles. Yeah.
So you live out here, or are you back east?
I'm out here. Yeah, and we shoot Kingdom out here. It's based in Venice, but I think we'll be shooting in North Hollywood this year, which is really exciting. We'll be right down the street. You guys can
there
come visit.
Nice.
Okay,
we
will. VJ can come write an episode for us.
We got to get out of here. Last thoughts, anybody?
Well, wait a minute.
What?
We do not have to get out of here. We have extra time. I have more questions.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
John has to get out of here.
Overruled
I'm sitting admonished.
Apparently John needs to go.
I'm perfectly chided, please.
Anne Fierro asked, did you write the Boyd and Hagen scenes?
No, Chris wrote those. Those scenes were very important to Chris, just to express how he feels about Boyd's character. And Chris also is in the ranks in season one. And those scenes, I think he knocked those out of the park. They were great.
I don't know how to ask those without like, creating problems. But do you have a job yet? Do you have a job?
No. You know
what? A couple weeks ago, and we were even really. Like,
you know what's hilarious? I had a dentist appointment the other day, and the hygienist said, "So what do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm kind of between jobs." I felt like such a loser.
As an actor who's always between jobs,
right?
I don't need to hear that you think you're a loser.
Right.
I know somebody says that is a loser.
Exactly.
You're in a brief period of retirement.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, no, but wait a minute. He's already got his gig. Why don't
it's not something. It's just not something that I'm used to because I've been on Justified for 6 years.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Oh, poor V. VJ Boy's been employed for 7 years on a hit television, you know, award-winning show.
Cry me a river, John.
Oh, and his dentist hygienist and his fancy Beverly Hills. Look at his teeth. The guy's got perfect teeth.
Talk about glowing.
I'm so sorry. Your huge top-tier WGA health insurance kicking in. And your brief, I felt like such a loser.
Are we doing improv now?
Oh, my gosh.
Are we doing improv now?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Please tell us more about your life, VJ.
I'm such a talented television writer.
Someone touched a nerve.
Oh, God.
So when I was watching my episode on my 60-inch television. Yeah.
On my heads-up display, yeah. Maserati.
Anyway, I don't have a job.
He'll be just fine.
I've been meeting on a lot of shows. I will tweet you when I know my job.
Please
and
do.
You can tell all your viewers. You know,
yeah.
Wait a minute. You'll only have one more episode.
Yeah.
You know, well, do you guys do any other shows?
Oh, yeah,
the three of you? What shows do the three of you do?
Well,
you know what?
Are you
we
allowed
focus
to say?
On this. We
well,
haven't
this is
really
our time,
BJ.
We get to ask the questions.
Okay,
all
right.
Yeah,
I know. I'm interviewing
like
you.
They care.
You know what? I will look on your website and find out.
Oh, yeah. Look at John's website. Yeah. Yeah.
I am the clearinghouse for information,
yeah,
people.
Pretty much.
I would just like to point out that I brought apple pie.
Yeah.
Today.
It's in the bottle, not the glass.
It's in the. In the glass, not the bottle.
All right, whatever.
In our case,
all right,
it's not in the
John's
glass.
John, he had to go because, you know, he'd forgotten.
John had to go because he wanted pie.
That's right.
Well,
I'm starving.
I can agree with that, yeah.
So, all right. Did you have other questions that I so?
You just disrespectively really interrupted me. A couple of inside ones. Some of your Texas fans.
Yeah.
Did you like the gig?
You asked me that last time. That's a whole inside joke from the ticket in Dallas.
Right.
I'm not going to go into
it.
I just know what it is.
Okay.
But I answered it correctly last time.
Okay, got it. All right.
Good.
Okay. Did you have any favorite scenes from the show, the entire series, really, that you loved, or even a type of scene that you were, really felt great about or enjoyed?
Okay,
as a fan?
I will answer that, and I also want to know what you think about favorite scenes, maybe that you weren't in, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But my one scene that always sticks out to me, because I think The Gunfighter, which is the season 3 premiere, is one of my favorite episodes. And the final scene in that, where the final scene at least with Duffy and Duffy and Quarles, and Quarles shoots the secretary and kills Arnett, and he said, "Now you know me?" Or "You know me now," I think he says. And that's just a great scene.
Yeah.
It's just the whole thing is done so well. And I think Michael Dinner directed that. I know Graham and Fred wrote it. But that was a great, great episode, great scene. I always think of that when people ask favorite scenes. I think my favorite scene that I've written, that's people will laugh. Probably the scene where it's revealed that Duffy loves guac. Where Mike comes in and says he loves guac, and then
in the morning.
And then she goes and gets a drink after she's made fun of them for eating guacamole in the morning. And it's very screwball comedy esque.
Yeah.
And I just loved writing that scene, and Duffy's awesome to write for. Mm-hmm. So that may seem silly, but that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious,
it's so hard to not bring up the Mary Steenburgen and death scene. I mean, it's just so fun. Like, it's so technical, and yet it's so fluid, and I just it's so unexpected, and it keeps going on, and it's such a, and then Jared Burns' response, all this, it's very comedic as well. I just thought it was so great. And actually, John Abner directed it, posted his shot list on Yahoo TV for it. It's fantastic.
We need to
see,
look at that.
To see that. It's so great.
Yeah.
I just loved that scene this season. And I really liked, for Boone, I loved that diner scene, mostly just because it was a kind of a carte blanche sort of scene.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because it looks like they just went, here, go.
Yeah, it totally was. It was great. And Adam Arkin directed that, and he's such an actor's director. Uh-huh. He's just so generous and so helpful, and obviously technically has all of the information to get the job done. He's just fantastic.
When I was watching that, in testament to you, I'm watching going, he can't possibly start shooting people up in a diner. He can't do that. He's going to start shooting people in the diner. It wasn't that. He's crazy. No, he's going to. No, he can't. Oh, my God.
I had sweaty palms. I was really nervous. Well, you know that, because I talked about it on our show. But I was really nervous during that scene, and I thought it was a great
it was very
portrayal.
It was a little different, too, from other. Like, it felt like a little different from some of the other scenes in the episode. It was just this, long, kind of strange scene. You're like, why is this? And I just dug it. I thought it was cool. I mean, for Boone, that was my Boone scene.
Because you love hanging out with the guy.
Yeah.
It's a very Elmore Leonard scene. It seems like a scene from an Elmore Leonard book, and I think Ben wrote that one. It was great.
That's right, he did, yeah.
That's what I thought when we were watching it. I go, this is why people like Elmer Leonard books.
Yeah.
This
scene.
Yeah. Yeah, it's why you'll like watching Justified. Yeah.
And since we talked about that, he had mentioned that some people see it as a comedy. So how challenging was it to try to hit those and try to keep the balance the way? I mean, were you always cognizant of it, or did you know it just plays the way it plays? Or how?
We really, I mean, we talked a lot about being a Western,
yeah.
being a neo-Western. We've talked about that, and we would reference Westerns in the room
yeah.
a lot, those of us who'd seen them. And we talked mostly about it just being Elmore Leonard. Mm-hmm. And that's where the comedy comes from, because yeah. it's all about he'll have characters just do things that that character would do, and yeah. they just happen to be funny.
Right.
But no one in the show, like, Patton borders on it, because he's always Patton Oswalt, but other than him, no one in the show thinks they're being funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is who they are. They take themselves seriously,
right.
and that's why where the humor comes from.
Yeah.
It's like seeing a great play.
Yeah.
Like, you go to see Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf on stage, that's not a comedy, but people laugh constantly as nervous laughter. You know, it's not really funny. It's just it's so real, and the character anyway. So,
mm-hmm. Got it. Good.
I'm going off on tangents.
That does answer. I assume that would be, but I know that other people have asked us that. Is like talk to them about how do they get the balance right, because it's funny and scary and you know menacing and all
and
those things and the love story
and
it carries so many at the same time. And is able to do it without fumbling.
You know, shorter answer is, I guess, it really does just come from Elmer Leonard trying to keep that tone. And also, Graham wants everything to be fun. He doesn't want to get too dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yes, things get dark and terrible things happen and people die.
Yeah.
But where's the fun?
Yeah.
Right? And where's the fun, and are we telling an interesting story?
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to depress anyone, I guess,
right.
is his. And so that comes from him. If it wasn't for him, I think the show would be very different. It'd be more of an FX show, you know? It'd be, but he adds that fun and that kind of whimsical element
mm-hmm.
where Duffy's opening a toothpaste tube, and he just comes in and says, mm-hmm. do this! And it's like, who would have thought of that?
On set, he's just one of these, like, super generous, kind, fun. He just has that same sort of spirit too about him, and that sort of spirit when the crew and the actors get to see that, it also it permeates into the work as well.
Sure.
Which raises my question: who is the asshole on this? Who's the guy that just every day went, "Oh my god, he's still alive"?
VJ Boyd.
Steve Bottom.
VJ Boyd. How do we get rid of VJ? Can we kill him off? Is there a way to do that?
No, he's real.
Oh, damn.
Okay, so
we're out in Green Valley. There's no service.
No cell
reception. No one will know.
Yeah, all right, damn.
And there are no more episodes. It's not you're going to get fired. So, premiere. I mean, finale.
Oh yeah, finale
next week.
Next week. Yeah. What's the deal?
Yeah, it's.
Are you going to be there?
What happens?
It's crowds.
It's Tuesday night. I'm not going to tell you what happens.
Yeah. Oh,
damn it.
But
nice try.
But yeah, I'm going to. That'll be the third time I've seen it on
exactly,
Tuesday because
yeah.
I'm going to see it in Kentucky this weekend. We're doing a screening in Harlan
nice.
For people
how
there.
Cool.
Oh, that
and
is cool.
Tim Oliphant's going to be there, I believe. Mm-hmm. Most of the actors are going to be there at least. And then
I'm not going.
Oh. And the writers are going to be there. And then I'm going to see the finale screening in LA on Monday mm-hmm. night. And then I'll see it on TV on Tuesday.
We might
I'll
get
be tired of it.
Too.
Yeah, we got invited to the Monday thing.
Why are you, and you're thinking about not going?
No.
I'm
not
confirmed.
We're just waiting for them to confirm it.
Are you kidding? Okay. Every other day, I'm like, are we confirmed yet?
VJ's going to be there?
Are you going to be there Monday?
The limo isn't quite long enough for me, so we're working through it.
No, they invited us. We said yes, and we're just waiting for
confirmation. I'm excited to see you then. Good.
Yeah,
we'll have friends.
All right, on that note. Go, can I leave now?
No, we can't.
Are we good?
Okay.
Any last words for me, Mr. Tucker?
Where can they tweet you or find
Jonathan
you?
Jonathan M. Tucker.
Mm-hmm. And so obviously on Kingdom, is there anything else that they might want to look out for you?
Kingdom's it, 20 episodes.
You want to talk about Pegasus or anything? Or?
Oh, my nonprofit?
Sure. Yes.
Tell them about
Pegasus.
Yeah, check out pegasusfund.org. But we take top performing students from underserved communities and we commit to sending them for 3 consecutive summers to a summer camp as kind of a means to help them acclimate socially and geographically and spiritually mm-hmm. to a new academic setting that they'll discover in high school.
And they can participate by going to Pegasus.
Fun.org, yeah.
Okay.
F-U-N or F-U-N-D?
F-U-N-D.
F-U-N-D.
It is fun, but this is a fun.
It's a fun.
Okay.
It's a worthy endeavor. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. VJ.
And I'm on Twitter.
Give him a job.
Yeah, VJ's givingyoujob.org.
Hireme.org.
Hire
me. Hire me.
VJ Fund.
LinkedIn.com.
Yeah, but I'm on Twitter at VJ Boyd, and I will tweet about whatever my next job is, and Jonathan will make fun of it, no doubt. No, no matter what I do now.
I'm just saying the guy's so talented. How dare he be out of all poor VJ?
You're
going to
tweet me,
like,
does your hygienist like your new job?
Yeah.
I was wondering, was the front office hiring at your dentist?
Because there have got to be memos or something. I will retweet everything. And sure. I am at Tamara Berg on Twitter. My website is TamaraCentral.com. My pie recipe's there.
Awesome. Bottomless Steven at the thing.
Yeah.
Don't tweet me.
Yeah, just tweet Tamara. Seriously.
You can't find me anywhere but here. So thanks very much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.